Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Madrid, Spain, and earned a master's in geography and history from the University of Madrid and a doctorate in the history of art from the University of Bologna. From 2004 to 2006, he served as a senior curator at the Meadows Museum of Art in Dallas, Texas. Since 2015, he's been the director, president, and CEO of the Detroit Institute of Arts, which is one of the top six museums in America. His name, Dr. Salvador Salort Pons, and I'm Jack Crisullo, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisullo. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the president, CEO, director of the DIA, Dr. Salvador Salort Pons. Doctor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Absolutely. I was born and raised in Madrid 47 years ago. And I was born in a time where Spain was coming out from the Franco regime. So it was a young country, a new democracy. We had a new constitution. So it was a very excited time in which I grew up. And I was born in a family that came from Valencia, which is in the east coast of Spain, and settled in Madrid. My father worked there. And my mother grew the family, and I was the oldest of five siblings. I have three brothers and one sister. It was, as I mentioned, a very interesting life in Madrid, and exciting times. Went to school there. Study university in Madrid as well, and had the opportunity to live a very interesting life in relation to the arts. My father very early on took me to the symphony and to the opera. I was able to go to museums very early on, the Prado Museum, which is my second favorite museum in the world. The first one, you know which one it is. And I was very fortunate.
What's the biggest thing, Salvador, you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
I think from my father, what I learned is the work ethic. He was a very hard worker man. He is still. He used to wake me up at 6 a.m. in the morning to do my homework to go to school. I still remember that. From my mother, I learned the ability to listen. She was always listening, and always a very loving person. So in that sense, I had a very, very nice family environment.
And blessed. Your folks brought you to America on a trip with the family at age 10.
That's correct. That was my first trip to the United States. And I remember we visited New York City. We went to Washington, D.C., and then we continued into Florida. Remember going to Miami as well. And it was an extraordinary experience because seeing Manhattan and the high rises, those skyscrapers, was something very, very impressive. Also, visiting Washington, D.C., the mall and all the museums, and the space that there is in America. There's a lot of space in the United States. It's a very interesting feeling how people walk in the streets. Very different than when you are in a city like Madrid, where I grew up. And finally, we went to Miami, and I remember coming out of the airport and feeling the heat wave of the Miami weather, of Florida weather. I remember that. And the very strong air conditioning inside the building. So these are some of the memories I have of my first trip to America.
Salvador, when did you begin to realize your intrigue, your fascination with the arts?
I think it was in high school. I remember that the art class, it was art history class, was the class I studied the least for, but I got the best grades. So I had sort of a talent for it, in the sense that when I was confronted with a work of art, the professor would put a slide on the screen and would ask me to speak about it. I was able to say something relevant to the work of art itself, even though I didn't study much for it. So understanding the language of art was something that I had a gift for, and I realized that that was my vocation.
You mentioned the language of art. Salvador, what is art?
Art is an expression of the human being, and it is a way to communicate messages. It is a way to express oneself. Art is something that allows us to say things that we cannot say with words. Art is something that allows us to give perspectives on matters, on issues that are difficult to say with words, but when you see it with an image, then everything changes. Art is a way to bond. Art is a platform where people come together. Art is so many things. Art is amazing.
Well spoken. What do all the best artists have in common?
I think it's very important to separate the artist from the person. Sometimes great artists are not great persons, and sometimes great persons are not artists. And sometimes a great artist can be a great person. I can tell you that for sure. I think all great artists make us think about the world differently. And all the great artists, when they produce a work of art, that work of art, it's always alive and speaking different things to us. Its ultimate meaning, it's actually something that you cannot reach. You're always discovering new things.
Speaking of discovering new things, when we come back, we'll ask Salvador how art oftentimes changes lives and souls. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with the 11th director of the DIA in its 135-year history, Dr. Salvador Salord Pons. That's quite an honor.
It is an amazing honor. It's an incredible opportunity to lead the DIA, one of the best museums in the world.
All right. Art oftentimes changes lives and souls. Why and how?
That's a very good question. Art can be transformative. We can see a work of art and understand things that we never thought we could. It's a window into love. It's a window into what human beings are. It's a window into creation. I mean, remember that artists are working with creativity. And in that sense, that ability, that gift, that power opens a window to the very deep mysteries of life.
Talk to us, if you will, about your first curator job in Rome.
That was a great job, I have to say. I was curator of exhibitions at the Memmo Foundation, Palazzo Ruspoli in Rome. And I was charged to organize the first comprehensive exhibition on the great 17th century Spanish artist, Diego Velázquez. For those who are not familiar with Diego Velázquez, Diego Velázquez is the Picasso of the old masters in Spain. So I was very young, I was 30 years old, and I was charged with this exhibition, curating this exhibition, and we were able to borrow extraordinary paintings by Velázquez from all over the world to show in Rome. And it was an important thing to do it there, because Velázquez had been to Rome twice in his life. When he was young, when he was 30, he went to Rome to study, in the same way I did, to study the great works of antiquity, the great works of the Renaissance, and also the great works of his contemporaries, like Caravaggio, or Annibale Carracci, or Guido Reni. Later, he did a second trip to Rome in 1650, and he went there shopping. He went there shopping to buy works of art for the King of Spain to decorate his palace. So we wanted to do an exhibition about Velázquez that told that story and explained the importance of Italian art in the work of life of this great master.
So you're 30 years old, you've got this job, you're in Rome, and you go to the Vatican Museums. What is that experience like?
It's like a miracle, I guess. I mean, the Vatican Museums are one of the most amazing museums in the world. They have all master paintings, they have antiquities, decorative arts, they have everything you can dream of. Just remember that the Catholic Church was one of the most important patrons for the arts for many centuries. So they were able to gather great collections and also to commission works of art that are now in the Vatican, in the Vatican City. And of course, one is to remember the Sistine Chapel by the greatest artist, Michelangelo, Buonarroti. Or you can remember the Stanze by Raphael. Those are extraordinary achievements in the history of art.
From 2004 to 2006, you were the senior curator at the Meadows Museum of Art on the campus of Southern Methodist, SMU, in Dallas.
That's correct. That was my first job in the United States.
And you saw some heat there, too, or you felt some heat there, too, at times.
Texas, during the summer, means 100 degrees for 30 days. That was an experience. I got an opportunity to go to work at the Meadows Museum in Dallas, Texas. The Meadows belongs, it's a university museum belonging to the Southern Methodist University. And it's perhaps, together with the Hispanic Society in New York City, the best collection of Spanish art in the world, outside of Spain, of course. And he has around 400 works of art. I was senior curator, and I was also teaching in the art history division at SMU. It was a great experience, a great way to start and to understand how life and work was in the United States, or is in the United States. And Texas has a lot to do with Spain in many ways. So in that sense, it was a very good introduction for me. I felt comfortable. You can get by in Texas by speaking Spanish. I remember that I went to Texas. The first thing I did was to get my driver's license. And instead of taking the test in English, I took it in Spanish. Almost failed.
All right, it's 2008. Why and how was it you decided to join the DIA as assistant curator?
I had been in Dallas for 4 years. I worked there. And then after my tenure at the Meadows Museum, I enrolled in the MBA program at Southern Methodist University. And I wanted to go back to school to really gain experience in business administration. The idea was that having a PhD in art history was very useful, but I wanted to have education in business. And this came about realizing how American museums operate. They are very different than European museums. In America, museums are run like businesses. In Europe, it's a little bit different. So I wanted to be a rounded professional. Having a PhD in art history and an MBA would do that for me. And also I had in my mind already the idea that perhaps eventually in the future I would like to become a museum director. And for that, you really need to have some business acumen and experience.
What does a museum curator
do?
That's a great question. That is a great question. Museum curators do so many things for the organizations for which they work. They research the collection. They are the holders of the knowledge, the keepers of the collection. They organize exhibitions. They work with the education department to make those exhibitions and knowledge of our collection accessible to all audiences, regardless their background, regardless they are experts in our history or have no knowledge of our history. Audiences or visitors should come to museums and feel comfortable when they visit. And for that regard, they work closely with the education departments and make the information accessible for all audiences. So they research collections, they prepare exhibitions, they work in education with the educators. They also do acquisitions. For those museums who have restricted endowments to buy works of art, curators search in the art market for pieces that the museum can buy to add to the collection, and that keeps the collections alive. They also work with patrons. For those who are collectors themselves and eventually would give their collections to the organization for which the curators work, they cultivate these collectors and patrons and help them in their collecting activities. Curators give lectures. They publish nationally and internationally. They are, as I like to say, like the doctors in the hospitals. What does a doctor do?
Everything. We're talking to Dr. Salvador Salort Pons, and since 2015, he's been the director, president, and CEO of the Detroit Institute of Arts. Doctor, tell us about the world-famous treasure we call the DIA.
I work in one of the most amazing museums in the world, the Detroit Institute of Arts. It has an extraordinary history, one of the first museums created in this country in the 19th century. A place where great professional museum professionals have worked, like William Valentiner, who was the German director, who in the 1920s created the foundation of what is today one of the greatest collections in the world. The DIA owns an extraordinary European collection. It owns an extraordinary American collection. The DIA owns an extraordinary African-American collection. The DIA has anything you need to know to really be familiar with our history. So what I say when visitors come or the schools come, I tell the students, if you're familiar with what you see in the walls of this museum, you can navigate any museum in the world. And you can feel comfortable because the DIA has for you anything you need to know to have a great background in our history. The DIA is a museum that holds extraordinary records that generally people forget about. One of these records is that the DIA is the first museum in the United States to acquire a painting by Van Gogh before the Metropolitan Museum, before the Art Institute of Chicago, before the National Gallery in Washington, before the Getty, before any museum in this country. The DIA bought in 1922 our wonderful Van Gogh self-portrait. We're also the first museum in the country to buy a painting by Matisse. And we are the first for many things. The treasure of the museum, the heart of the DIA is our Rivera murals. The murals that Diego Rivera painted for the museum between 1932 and 1933. This is a masterpiece. And many people from all over the world come to see in pilgrimage these frescoes, these murals. They're important for two things. First of all, because Diego Rivera painted them at the height of his powers. He considered them his masterpiece. And he was very much influenced by the work that he had seen while he was in Italy. He studied the Sistine Chapel and the frescoes, the murals that Michelangelo did. And I'd like to say that The Rivera murals are the Sistine Chapel of Detroit. And Diego Rivera is our Michelangelo. The second reason why these murals are so important is because they portray, they represent one of the most important moments of humankind, which is the creation of the automotive industry. And that was created in Detroit. And what Detroit has created has changed the world. And I like to think that people will see Detroit in the future like we see Florence in the Renaissance, other cities like Rome in the 17th century or in the 19th century Paris, a city that changed the world through the creation of the automotive industry that changed, as I mentioned, humankind. And that is represented by Diego Rivera at the height of his powers.
If you want to learn more, www.dia.org. When we come back, we'll ask Salvador about another treasure of the DIA. And I'm Jack Grisul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula, and we're with Dr. Salvador Salot Pons, who refers to the DIA as, quote, the temple of art, unquote. Another treasure we have is Eugene Gargaro, the chairman of the board.
Eugene Gargaro is the chairman of the board of the DIA, and he's also my boss. And not only that, he is my mentor. I am so fortunate to have an individual like him to chair the board of directors of the DIA. He's most generous and most committed to the success of the museum. And we all know how important his role has been in the recent history of the museum, thinking about the bankruptcy of Detroit, and also how the DIA was able to put together with other organizations what was called the Grand Bargain, that brought to the city of Detroit over $800 million, of which $100 million were raised by the DIA, were raised by Gene Gargaro. So he's been very, very good chairman of the board for many years. He's been very helpful to me. And I think the reason, and I said this in many, many occasions, the reason why I stayed in Detroit to work and continue to stay here with my family is because of Gene. I mean, he's just an extraordinary individual, and very much looking forward to working with him in the upcoming years.
Speaking of upcoming, tell us about the Star Wars exhibit and its costumes.
Yes, we are doing an exhibition which is called Star Wars and the Power of Costume. And this exhibition, it's about the creative process of costume designers, how they start with the preliminary drawings and sketches, and go through all the process until they create the outfits for the characters that play in the films. We are very interested at the DIA to teach creativity and to let children and students know how creativity is so important for many aspects of life. The exhibition, it's targeted to our target audience, which is families with young children. We also wanted to do the show because it aligns well with the Detroit Film Theater. We have a wonderful film theater, the DFT, with a film program that is recognized all over the country, and it is reviewed in the New York Times. We have very faithful audience to this DFT. Right now we have the Oscar shorts, and every weekend we have, every day of the weekend we have over 1,000 people coming to the DFT. But we wanted to do an exhibition that align with the DFT, so we can bring together the DIA and the DFT. So do things that create synergies between the two operations. The exhibition also, I'm very excited about this, is an exhibition that when visitors will come, they will be receiving an multimedia tour. And this multimedia tour will show in this device different images of works of art in our collection, similar to the ones that inspired the costumes that the visitors will see in the show. Just to give you an example, the famous helmet worn by Darth Vader in the movie is inspired on a samurai helmet. So you will see in the show how the costume connects with some of the art objects that we have in our permanent galleries, providing an opportunity to our visitors to see our permanent collection with different eyes. The show is going to be very well received. I know there's a lot of excitement in the community, and we'll be starting in May 18th. I will go through all the summer until the end of September.
If you want to learn more, www.dia.org. Salvador, one of your many initiatives is to make the DIA more like a European town square. Please explain.
Yes, that's in our vision. We want to be the town square of our community, where everybody gathers, everybody is represented, everybody is included. And it's not only European, it's also American. You can go to Mexico. There are wonderful town squares in Mexico. You can go also to some cities in America, in the United States, that have town squares. So, I mean, the concept of a town square started in ancient Greece, but it's spread across the world. And we want to be this heart of the city. We want to become the heart of the community, where everybody comes, feels represented, feels included, and can see the museum and the grounds of the museum as a place for them, their friends, and their families. We want to activate the grounds of the DIA with architecture, with public programs, with public art. And we want to work with the organization in Midtown Detroit, like CCS, like the Charles Ryan Museum, Science Museum, Detroit Public Library, Wayne State University, the Detroit Historical Society, all these organizations together to transform this plaza into the town square of our community.
You talk about families coming. When young children come and you're watching their eyes see these paintings, what do their eyes tell you, Salvador?
That's the most amazing thing, when the kids are in front of a work of art and react with a comment or start drawing in the galleries or write something in response to what they have seen. It's just see the power of art, how it activates human beings and bring them together. And we have a lot of that at the DIA. Some of the best art in the world is here in Detroit.
We're talking to Salvador Saloprons. When we come back, we're going to ask him about some local art and local artists. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Dr. Salvador Saloprons, the 11th director of the DIA in its 135-year history. Share with us your thoughts about some local artists and local art.
Local artists are very important for the museum. We are trying and we are connecting with the local artist community, and we go to studios to see what's going on in Detroit. We participate, and we are putting together actually an exhibition on collectors, African American collectors of African American art here in Detroit, because Detroit has been a city that has collected African American art for many, many years, and there have been many African-American artists who have grown in the city. So we want to tell that story. And we want the museum to feel for those artists, local artists, this is a place for them as well, and we want to represent them and have them in our permanent galleries. We recently installed a painting by Mario Mora. Just to tell you the story, this is a great artist. He has his studio in Brooklyn, New York, but he's from Detroit, and he went through the Detroit public school system. And when he was in high school, he did some works of art and showed them at the DI. You know that the DI every year does an exhibition with DPS. We bring the art of the students into the building and we do an exhibition for a month. And Mario Mora was part of that exhibition. Then when he left Detroit to go to Yale University and other places and became a very famous artist, we included his work in our recent exhibition, The Art of Rebellion. And after that show, we bought a work by him. And 3 or 4 days ago, we installed it. So we are very committed to the arts in Detroit. We're very committed to local artists, as well as national and international artists.
www.dia.org. We're talking to Dr. Salvador Salord Pons, who had a special day, August 11th, 2017. You became an American citizen. Tell us about that day.
It was amazing to become American citizen. We celebrated that in the museum with many of our patrons and visitors, of course, with my family. And the ceremony took place in Rivera Court, which is a glorification of immigration. When you look at those frescoes, when you look at the murals and the figures that are represented in those murals, they come from all over the world. So it's really a glorification, as I said, of immigration in the United States. In my experience, I have lived an incredible story here in the United States. I came to America as a curator in a small museum in Texas. And I had become, after the years, the director of one of the greatest museums in the world. And that only happens in the United States. I, of course, and what's more important, found in the United States my family. And I am very happy to live here, to work here. And I'm very grateful to America for accepting me in this country.
The DIA is one of the top 6 museums in America. Paint for us a picture, Salvador, of the DIA in 2025. Is your hair still going to look that good in 2025?
I don't know about my hair. I really want the museum to be very, very engaged and relevant to our communities. I really want the museum to build a tool for our communities, a useful organization. I really want the museum to bring great benefits to our society, to bring the community together, to be a place where everybody feels comfortable, where everybody feels represented, where we can talk about anything, a place where art can be an inspiration to make us all better. And I think the DIA is on that track right now. Is playing a role in the city, in the community, in the Tri-County area that it has never played before. And it's also going beyond that. We are also doing things statewide, like we have a traveling exhibition going around, the farther areas of the state of Michigan. So in that sense, what I want really is a relevant museum for all, a place that belongs to all Michiganders.
You came to Detroit in 2008, and you actually moved downtown. And so you've watched for 10 years almost this unbelievable rebirth of Detroit. You're right in the middle of it. What's amazed you most about the rebirth?
At the speed of it. I mean, I remember when I came in 2008, I lived the first year in downtown. There were barely streetlights. And now, in 2018, it's incredible what you've seen. I mean, the construction, the homes, how hard it is to get even a house. I mean, because the demand is greater than the what is possible to buy. And it's just unbelievable, the excitement and the rebirth of so many places and the pride of the city as well. I think Detroiters have a lot of pride to bring the city back, and it's going very well. I'm very excited about the future.
Tell us about another treasure we have, Mort Harris.
Mort Harris is my very, very good friend, and he's just an incredible example for me, what he's done for this country, what he has done for the city of Detroit, what he has done for the community. You know, he's a World War II hero. He flew B-17s over Germany and completed 36 missions. The average number of missions before you were killed is 16, I think, or 14, he told me. He's an extraordinary man. And then after that, he came back to his country and became a very, very successful businessman. And all he's been doing is giving back to the community. Extraordinary man. I mean, to the hospitals, to Wayne State University, to the DIA, and so many other places. It is a very good example of what America is.
As our time winds down, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I would tell them that whatever they do it with passion. And that with authenticity, and that they pursue their dreams, because if they work hard and they believe in their dreams, they will end up doing them and realizing them. I think that's possible.
Dr. Salvador Salot Pons, the DIA is a treasure. And you, sir, as well, are a treasure. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.